Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Today's show is brought to you by Fandor. Sign up online or in the app for a free 1-week trial. Just $4.99 a month for your all-access pass. Playing now on Fandor is Observance. In this film, a private investigator accepts what seems like a routine surveillance job. Not only does he find himself way out of his league, but he also finds himself at the center of a series of bizarre and unexplained happenings.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another Fandor video podcast. We have a super special guest. All the guests are special, but this one's super special. You're going to know him from TV shows such as Veep, Fleabag, and Don't Forget the Driver. His name is Tim Kirby, and his new movie is Last Look, starring Charlie Hunnam, Mel Gibson, and Morena Baccarin from Homeland and Deadpool. So, Tim, welcome. How are you doing today?
Very good, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you guys about Last Looks.
Yeah, can you tell us in your own words what your film is about?
Yeah, Last Looks is a story about a man called Charlie Waldo, who is an ex-LAPD superstar who has sort of left LA and is now recluse in the Idlewild, and he left under murky circumstances, which will obviously be dripped out over the course of the film. And he's sort of brought back into they live in this very minimalist life, this sort of zen-like existence, but there's something not right about it. And then he's lured back into the toxic wasteland in his imagination of LA to investigate the murder of Alistair Pinch's wife, played by Mel Gibson. And Alistair Pinch is this sort of very kind of Royal Shakespeare Company actor, akin to Oliver Reed or someone like that. Sort of old thespian just drifting through the end of his career. And the case is as big as something like OJ. It's a huge case that's splattered all over the TV. So it's everything that Waldo doesn't want to do. And yet there's something that takes him there. And he starts to get embroiled into this very messy case, of which it's 99% sure that Alistair Pinch killed his wife. But that doesn't make a very good film, does it? So then he goes to LA and he kind of starts to unravel this darker plot that takes him through various areas of Los Angeles and meeting people, and the plot thickens. And on one hand, it is a good old-fashioned Hollywood murder mystery with a comedic edge. And on the other hand, it's a disillusioned archetype seeking freedom from a psychological bondage to a past event. So it has this sort of pull of a hero with no future.
Yeah.
Very much a past.
Yes.
And then it also has this, fun element to it, because I didn't really want to make a an out-and-out drama of which this could have very easily have been. I think there's an... My experience of being in LA is... I used to come many times. I still do. I find it extraordinary and
intoxicating.
Intoxicating. There you go. Not toxic. And so, Jesus.
You've done a lot of interviews today. He's done a lot of interviews, everyone. Cut him some slack.
That's right.
What number am I today? Am I number 5, 6?
I think you're 9.
All right.
Oh, wow.
We're wearing him out. And we're the last one, I think.
You're the last one. When I started, this sun was full on the back, and now it's just going behind the clouds.
Wow. And by the way, Tim's in he's in London, right? You're in London, right?
I am, yes. And I'm trying to use this this screen here, which looks like something out of Kubrick's 2001, to mask my rather messy office. But I am indeed. No, actually, I'm not in London. I'm in Hove, which is Brighton and Hove.
Okay.
So I've been here, since lockdown. And but you know, so
here, let me ask. Can I ask you a couple questions about the film? Let's get back to the film.
Although I do like the light in the background. Very nice.
Yeah, your background is superb. I have to say, of all the people we've interviewed recently, you have the best background. Tim, tell me, like, who signed on first? Charlie, Mel, Morena? Like, who did you get for, and how did you get this cast?
So, I was editing in LA a film, and I was looking for the next project, and I wanted to do something very different to, you know, a hard comedy and out and out studio film. And this film landed, this screenplay landed on my lap with Charlie Hunnam attached.
Oh, nice.
And so I read it with him in mind, and it started off in a very sort of minimal, delicate, small place, and then escalated, as I've just said, into this sort of very sort of detailed murder mystery. And I loved it. And so I met up with Charlie and loved him. And he's a fellow Brit, very sensitive, very intelligent, very passionate about this character, and really wanted to shake up his career and choices and do something to challenge him. We connected. And so I signed on, and then it was like, who's going to play Alistair Pinch? And I drew up a short list of 3 people, one of which was the mighty Mel Gibson, and just sent it to him. You know, I mean, who knows, eh?
Right.
And to my surprise, I got the email saying Mel loves it. He wants to Skype. So I Zoomed. It was Skype back in 2019, of course.
Right.
So now it's Zoom. Now it's Zoom. But yeah. And then it was MySpace. 10 years ago. Anyway, so I Skyped Mel and just got on with him. And he's very funny, very charismatic, very sensitive. He obviously, from his point of view, liked the idea that this character sort of resembled a sort of Oliver Reed, Peter O'Toole, slightly heightened character that's drifting around in the industry, like a relic from the 60s and 70s, of which he was probably brilliant. And Mel just liked the angle of the character, and he played with a few voices, and all of a sudden he was on board. So with Charlie and Mel, then we got the film financed, and then waited until we got into production to hire the others. Oh, actually, yes, that's right. And then waited until we were in production to get the other... although, actually, no, that's not true. I'm lying.
Can I ask you a couple questions about... first of all, there are very few people in Hollywood I have a big crush on, but Morena, oh my gosh, she is so beautiful.
I think she has a crush on you as well, actually.
I'd be surprised if she even knows I exist. the other person I want to ask you about was Robin Givens.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really interesting choice, just because, you know, she's sort of disappeared for a while. And like, how did you think of her? Why her? And how was she to work with?
Robin was great. It just, you know, we were in production. It was suggested that she was available. I said, what an amazing idea. If she doesn't mind doing a screen test. And she was brilliant. And I had a phone call with her, and she was lovely and just very excited to be part of it. And, you know, came down for a couple of days and just slotted in. And she's brilliant. She had the right sort of, she pitched it absolutely perfectly. A lot of, I did a lot of casting for that role.
Yeah.
A lot of people being a bit too serious and a bit too over the top, but Robin was cool. She just had this presence and this authoritative stance that just offered the part, just elevated the role.
It won you over. Tim, I'm dying to know, what's your favorite scene in your movie? What's your favorite moment?
I quite like the scene. I think it's got to be between Charlie and Mel at the end.
When they're fist fighting?
Yeah, no, I like that one. It's actually the one after that where they're pouring a drink and even Waldo gets taken out by a piece of information that no one saw coming.
Yeah.
And I love both their performances in that. I think they're really on a level. You just see the brilliance of the pair of them. Waldo puts it.
Well, I'd love to hear about you personally, because, you know, I watched a bunch of your interviews and I kind of got a feel for you, but very rarely are people asking you personal questions. In filmmaking, what movies meant a lot to you, and what movies are you still watching today that really inspire you?
Yeah, I mean, I've got sort of top 10.
Oh, let's hear it.
All right.
Here we go.
Steady.
Let's hear the top two.
Okay, King Ralph 2. No, I'm joking. no, I mean, look, you know, for me, the greatest comedy ever made is With Nell and I, with Richard E. Grant. That taught me everything I wanted to know about comedy. Oh. There's, you know, Blue Velvet blew my velvet mind. Yes. I couldn't believe that someone had made that film. I remember seeing it in 1989 or whenever it came out. And that was the film that got me into films. That was the one which I went, whoa, like, what is this? And I, you know, the ants and that weird beginning and the surreal, you know, everything just blew my mind with it. So,
yeah,
there's you know, I remember watching The Deer Hunter watching the first half and sort of nothing happening. And then you into Vietnam, and that was just a great exercise in how to present a film, you know, against the grain without a three-act structure. And yeah, there's certain iconic films that really blew my mind, and then you think, yeah, I want to get close to that. That's what I want to be doing if I'm ever in the position, the luxurious position to direct a film. You know, and then hopefully as you grow older, you know, your vision, you know, you hone what you want to do. So you obviously remember those films and stylize and the tone, but, you know, you like to sort of find your voice and your way. Yeah. Lebowski was a huge influence for me on this film. Yeah. I also loved The Long Goodbye for all the reasons that the critics hated it. I loved it. Because it had it worked against what you're meant to do in film. And so, yeah, I've always kind of been on the slight kind of fringes of the industry and never gone for the commercial hit or never gone for the obvious. I've tried to look for projects which I can sort of bring my sort of my sort of slightly kind of crazy sort of outlook on. So yeah, and so but I was very careful. I was a little bit restrained in last books because I didn't want it to be ridiculous. I didn't want it to sort of be this ridiculous movie. I wanted on some level that you believe it. It could have sort of spiraled into this farce.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to, you know, and I could have taken it there, but you have to have a discipline. You have to sort of know your audience, and you have to think, no, hang on, you know, I'm watching this film and what would I want to see, you know?
So Tim, what's next for you now that this movie's in the can? What's next?
So when
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm finishing off a project which I've been working on for 3 years with Mike Myers called The Pentaveret. Mm-hmm. And he plays 9 characters, and it's about the secret rulers of the world. It's very ambitious. It's beautiful. It's 6 half-hour episodes for Netflix. I've directed them all. And we've locked all the edits, and we're just, you know, doing mixes and color and grading it, and it comes out sometime in May, hopefully. But so that's the very next thing. And then I'm just, I have 2 film projects that I'm sort of very close to, you know, saying sing hosannas to, and going to the ball with them. So,
You don't want to announce those on this show right now as an exclusive, as a guarantee.
Not. Of course not.
Come on.
Jeez, I'd be mental to do that.
Would you?
Well, no, only because they haven't been announced yet. So I can't.
You can't jump the gun.
I mean, not.
You want to give us a clue? How about a clue?
No.
No clue. Okay.
Well, let us know when you want to break it. All right. Well,
because if anyone from the studio saw this, they'd be like, he really needs to keep his mouth shut. But I'm happy to talk about the Pentaveret.
Of course. Of course, yeah. Well, his name is Tim Kirby. His film is Last Looks. February 4th, it's going to be in theaters and on demand. Tim, I hope you've enjoyed this as much as we have.
I have. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it, and I'll come back anytime.
All right, brother. Take care.
Very nice.
Take care. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in. Today's show is brought to you by Fandor. Sign up online or in the app for a free 1-week trial. Playing now on Fandor is observance. In this film, a private investigator accepts what seems like a routine surveillance job. Not only does he find himself way out of his league, but he also finds himself at the center of a series of bizarre and unexplained happenings. That's FANDOR, the home for cinephiles.